Hi, welcome to another episode of the On.net show. Today we're going to be talking with Imo Landworth, and we're going to be talking about the Windows compatibility pack. So tell us, what's the compatibility pack, what's it for, who should use it, all the things.
So we've done Standard 2.0. We already went on this journey to add the number of APIs that we have. And
like 20,000?
Yeah, 20,000 in 2.0, and then we also added them to .NET Core 2.0.
Right.
And so with the Microsoft Windows compatibility pack, we continue that journey and add another 20,000 APIs.
It's literally
the same number, which I looked at this and I'm like, that does sound familiar. Like, what's wrong here? But like, it's about the same number of APIs. About another 20,000 APIs we're adding.
Right, so each release is like a quota.
Yes.
Right, like, got to add 20,000 more, 20,000 more.
It gets harder and harder. Like, yeah. we have to hire more people now. Like, yeah. It's the more APIs.
Okay, so about 20,000 more.
Yes, and so the difference really between the ones we added in the standard and the ones we're adding here is from a conceptual standpoint, on the consumption side, it's the same thing. It's just more APIs are available. But the difference is, why didn't we add them to .NET Standard 2.0? Was it just we ran out of time? Or no, the difference is that the ones we have in the compatibility pack are the ones that we either feel like they're mostly provided for backwards compatibility, they're not really recommended for new code, or there are like a bunch of APIs that are Windows-only in nature, because they're like the Windows registry or the event log. And so adding them to the standard would have been backwards, because the standard is also about APIs that can actually work everywhere.
Right.
And so it doesn't make sense that APIs that, by definition cannot work everywhere, right? That being said, that doesn't mean that everything in the compat pack is either for compat or Windows only. There's some stuff in there that is generally also recommended for new stuff, like SQL Server, for example. It's just that we have never referenced them by default. And so we felt like the idea is, if you bring existing applications from .NET Framework to .NET Core, we wanted to give you the single stop experience. We just add this one package, and then you get as many APIs as you want. And so like, this is basically like the Mondo version of .NET Core. So I do file new .NET Core, then you add the Windows compatibility pack, and then that's as much as you can have in 2.0. Like, there's not much more you can get anymore.
Right, so that covers a lot of bases.
Yes, and so like that's why I'm saying that, because people sometimes look at the compat pack and say, oh, SQL Server is not legacy. It's like, no. Like, it's just, we haven't referenced it in the standard by default. We haven't referenced it in core by default, and we just added it here as well.
I see. So that was an existing, that package already existed. Like,
yes.
So from a development engineering standpoint, the existence of that package really had nothing to do with this project.
Correct.
It's more just the user convenience thing of like, yep, you'll get it now as if you just reference this one thing.
Right.
So do you recommend, like, if I was starting new code, a new project, I take it you wouldn't recommend starting out with this.
Correct.
Or you'd wait for the need to present itself. But if you were taking a .NET Framework project and trying to move it to .NET Core, would you pretty quickly just out of dependence on this,
yeah,
or what does that look like?
Yeah, like, I think it depends on the project, right? Like, if you have an existing code base, very often what you're trying to do is, in the very early phase, we do prototyping, so you just want to get started as fast as possible, not having to port a bunch of stuff. That's where that's for. I think once you mature your port and you say, okay, now I'm feeling like, okay, I understand what the limitations of core are, I understand what my architecture is, I understand what things I want to keep, which things I'm going to rewrite, and that's probably where you should stop using this package. You should instead take a dependency on the individual components that we have.
Right.
So that you can basically stop the bleeding, right? So you can say, okay, I understand that I depend on, let's say, in our case, the registry, let's say, and I really want to, factor this out eventually, but I don't want to deal with this right now. So take a dependency on just the registry, remove the dependency on the package, so that other people that party on the project now don't add more legacy dependencies left and right, and I want to maintain my component graph right over time.
That makes sense, because from a library standpoint, if I use this, then my NuGet package will have this entire set of dependencies.
Well, I think the way it works right now, if I would package the the output of this. I mean, this is a console app, right? So it doesn't make sense. But if it would be a library, it would just burn in the reference to the Windows compat pack.
Right.
It wouldn't explode it down to the individual things.
But my point was, if I was, a serious library developer, that's probably where I would take a little bit more time and figure out what my actual dependencies were.
Yes.
Right. So the meta package is really just a pure convenience thing.
Yeah, it's mostly for apps and yeah. mostly for people that want to port.
Right. So how long has this been out now?
Not that long. I mean, we can probably see it here.
Like,
what do you see this here down? Three months ago.
3 months
so
ago.
Like, okay, that's actually longer than I thought.
Now, a couple questions. One, it looks like it's still in preview.
Yes.
So when are you going to ship this thing?
So I think we are getting ready. I talked to Dan yesterday, last week, I think, and we said like we can basically push it any time now. Like, it will definitely be part
Maybe
of
we
the
should release the video that day.
Yes.
For this. Yeah. If we were planning it.
That would be good, right? No, I think the idea is, like, you know, soon, on the 13th of June is, like, my date, usually.
Okay.
The reason why we did it in preview, by the way, is, like, you know, all of these APIs are, you know, very mature APIs, right? There's not really a change in the APIs, right? We just took existing .NET Framework things and exposed them. But it's just generally for us a good practice to like get things out in preview, get feedback. Maybe we, you know, screwed up the package graph or did some other horrible thing. We want to change that later. But like, you know, if you take a dependency on this right now, there's like not many changes you can expect. The only real downside is why you wouldn't be able to use the preview bits is because you're building a NuGet package yourself and you want to be shipping a non-preview package yourself.
Stable.
Like, that's the only reason why you may want to wait for stable. But like, you can totally use this thing in production in apps and like. I don't think there's any like support implications from our side because it's all mature code.
Right. Now, what about, have you had any customer feedback on this? Presumably, so we did this for a reason. It's actually a fairly significant investment.
Right.
Have you had any feedback where this has helped people?
I think it's like two sides, right? Usually what ends up happening is when you port legacy code if you have an existing application that is out for a while, there's always some portion that you're happy with and some portion you're less happy with, right? And if you talk about, I want to move my existing, let's say, ASP.NET application from, you know, MVC 5 to MVC 6 on .NET Core, then you usually also take that time window to refactor stuff and like kick things out you're not happy with, right? But the reality is there is this time window where you just want to have something working. You can actually do a proof of concept. You can actually see it working on Core and get comfortable with the idea that you run on Core. And so that's why the package is super valuable for people that do that. Now, I think once we shipped 2.0, the pressure on our team to release more compatibility stuff dropped significantly because .NET Standard 2.0 added basically most APIs everybody depended all the time, like
right.
you know, Reflection and other things. Those are here more, I guess, narrow in nature, and some of them we already had available as individual packages. So the big change here is aggregation and also like adding a ton of individual components that we haven't had before. But I don't think I've seen tons of requests. You can see like we have like about 7,000 downloads, which for us is not a lot. Usually you get like tens of thousands easily.
Right, 70 downloads per day is quite low.
Yeah,
actually.
That's quite low for us. I mean, like honestly, like most of our packages get like 20 to 40 grand like within a couple of weeks usually.
Yeah.
Because people, as soon as you add it to Package Restore, like it gets like
so
crazy.
The one that I've talked to customers about. System Directory Services has had a lot of people saying, that's the one I think you use if you want to talk to an LDAP server.
Yeah, it's like the LDAP implementation or Active Directory.
Yeah, so that's a big one.
The ones that I heard is like CodeDOM a lot, Registry comes up a lot, WCF always comes up. This doesn't really extend WCF, it just aggregates it up. There's still a bunch of stuff we would like to do past what we have here. Like I have a blog post that that has a list of all the components. I think what you currently see here on preview on NuGet is about 2/3 of what we will push final. Like there's even more stuff coming. And so for example, I think I don't show direct. So drawing, for example, is missing here. We only have drawing common. System drawing is also coming. So that's another very popular request because I want to resize bitmaps and add a watermark to it or something.
Right. Now that one works on just Windows.
So that's So the other thing is like, if you look at the name of the package, we burned Windows in there for a reason because, a good chunk of these things are Windows-only technologies. But there's also a bunch of stuff in there that is agnostic, and my blog post has a table that shows you which ones are in which category. It pretty much follows what you would expect. There's a few surprises, maybe like directory services. You would hope it's cross-platform because it's just talking to an LDAP server. But the implementation that we currently have is p-invoking to Win32 APIs to do the LDAP calls. So that we will make some of the stuff more cross-platform. Not all of it is yet. I think right now the split in the package is about 50-50 is cross-plat, 50 is about Windows only. And the Windows only things, I think almost all of them will remain Windows only, with very few exceptions.
Right now, are all of these on GitHub as from an implementation standpoint?
Yep, they're all in the same repo as the rest of .NET Core. They're all in CoreFX.
Okay.
So
it's all open source.
Yep. So if I'm telling you we have more than we currently see on NuGet, you can check out GitHub. Like that's where the stuff already is live.
Right. So like for example, with the LDAP thing, you said it's Windows only.
Yep.
If someone in open source land said, you know, I really need the Mac version or the Linux version of this, and they brought some PRs to the table,
right,
would you entertain those?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I mean, I would always, right? But my dev team might not be. But no, I mean, like we already have on GitHub like issues where we track some of the work. We already said like directory services is basically three DLLs, and two of them are cross-platform capable, one probably not. And so we already talked about what the roadmap would be and what the split would be.
So
it's not state secret.
So say I try to use this. You know, I've got a whole set of apps that I want to migrate to .NET Core, and I'm still getting some paper cuts. How do I communicate with you that, you know, I need A, B, and C still to be successful?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the exact same location. Like, the easiest way you can engage with us is, in general, when you go on a NuGet package, there's this is how I got here, is like in Visual Studio, there's this report abuse link, which it's not the right terminology, but it gives you the link to the package. So like you just, you know, change the URL here to land on the package. And then you can just say either contact owners here, or even better, you can go onto the project page, which
I think there's a feature ask here somewhere.
Yeah, there is something there. We linked to .NET. No, that's unfortunate. That's not where we should be going.
It isn't where we should be going.
No, what I meant was like here's what you actually do. You type this URL into your favorite browser. this is where all of the stuff lives. And if you look at our issues here, there is a label that we apply to stuff. That is port to core.
Okay.
Where we'll be basically tracking work items that are related to that, and then there's also area paths here, so you can get an idea of what we want to do. And I think if we search for directory services,
it's not in that list.
It's not anymore here because we probably already closed it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So interesting thing about this is I'm just looking through the filed.
Yep.
Names, and they're very varied. So it looks like a lot of different people requested these. Presumably, it looks like.
Yeah, also look at the comments here, like 177,
oh, yeah.
230,
I,
116.
I didn't actually.
Like, so there's lots of stuff that people have requested for a while. To be honest, like, so the reason you see this massive spike now also has to do with just physics, right? Because when we shipped Core originally, Core was this thing where we had like cuts at every single layer. Like we basically had a completely different version of .NET, where we had a different version of Reflection, a different version of I/O, because we cleaned up APIs of every single like type and removed individual methods. So if we would have to like port an existing high-level component to Core, well, we have to fill in all these things now, right? With .NET Core 2.0, when we added .NET Standard, where we filled in pretty much all of those like, you know, missing members. Like the lower layer is basically complete at this point, like and the same as full framework. So now taking a high-level component like Math, for example, is now super cheap for us because we just recompiled it against Core, and like it doesn't even require changes for the most part. And that's why we basically were able to fill in like that quickly that many APIs. Some of them, I mean, most of the work went also into the build infrastructure and open sourcing the code, right? So there was some work there from engineering side, but not from the we have to re-implement components. For the most part, we can just use the .NET framework implementations. And so that's why most of them are now there. And you know, the number of comments reflects usually how old the issue is. So somebody filed this in the .NET Core 1.0 days when we just couldn't easily port it. And
right.
It's just, you know, trivial.
Okay, so this sounds good. So remind us how we actually use this thing.
So it's like basically like any other package. You just search for Microsoft Windows compatibility. You click the install button in here. Then a bunch of stuff happens.
And do I have to know which using statements to put in my source code?
It's exactly the same as full framework, except
okay.
that you install a NuGet package. And after you have done that, if you look into your NuGet here, you see the compat pack, and then you see basically all the individual NuGet packages, and when you do all, then you see all the assembly references that we add. So once you added the compat pack, you no longer have to add individual assembly references
right.
like you do on full framework. But when it comes to source code, yep, if you want to use, let's say, I don't know, I forgot what we now have in there. So point, for example, I have to add the using node to system drawing.
Right, so if you did control dot, oh yeah, you just did.
Yeah, I just did exactly that, control dot, and it shows up here, and then I hit enter, and then that's it. So like from there on, it's just, you know, copy and pasting code from the internet, and like everything should just work the same way.
Because all the good code's on the internet.
All the good code is either on Stack Overflow or you wrote it yourself.
Somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully there's some good stuff on GitHub too.
Yes, it'll be GitHub, yes.
Okay, well this was awesome. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, always.
And hopefully you ship a stable of this pretty soon so people aren't disappointed.
Oh yeah.
And we can get that download rate up a little bit higher.
Yeah, that would be nice. So like, yeah, play with it. Let us know what you are missing still. And you just click the link and then file bugs. Let me respond to you timely.
Okay, thanks for tuning in for another episode of the On.NET Show. And hopefully you enjoyed learning about the Windows Compatibility Pack from Emo.
For me personally. From GitHub with love.